It's January 6th. How are you doing with your New Year's resolutions? If you're starting to have some trouble following your resolutions, our next guest has some advice.
Juliana Brinus is with us. She's a postdoctoral fellow in psychology at Brandeis University. She wrote a piece for Psychology Today called How to Trick Yourself into Making Your Resolutions Stick. Juliana, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So, first of all, we think of resolutions, making these big changes, as a chore, a labor, a lot of the time. Is that part of the problem and part of where we go wrong?
Yes, that is a big part of the problem. So even though we often are the ones who decide that this resolution is something we want to do, we sometimes underestimate how unpleasant it might be. So we have this big goal of going to the gym every day, but then when it comes down to it, it's actually pretty arduous, and we actually want to avoid doing it. So that's a big part of the problem.
And you describe something called reactance theory. What is that, and how does it play into our resolution efforts?
So reactance theory basically states that when we feel pressure to do something, we often will resist that thing. So we have a strong need to feel a kind of sense of autonomy and free choice. We really don't like to be told what to do. So research has shown that if we feel kind of pushed into a certain behavior or attitude, we may adopt the opposite behavior or attitude, even if that's not what we really wanted to do, but really just to show that we're in control. And not everyone shows the same degree of reactance, but it is something that can come into play with New Year's resolutions, because even though we're the ones who resolve to do something, it can start to feel like a kind of rigid rule. We're telling ourselves we have to do this, and that can kind of take away from our intrinsic desire to do it.
In your piece, you reference a noted scholar named Mrs. Pigglewiggle.
Yeah.
What is her story, and how does she help us meet those resolutions?
So the Mrs. Pigglewiggle book series is one that I read when I was a child and really stuck with me, and I've noticed it's still a popular book today. So what Mrs. Pigglewiggle would do, she was this little woman who lived in the neighborhood, and she would be called upon by parents in the neighborhood when their kids were misbehaving or had a bad habit. And she had a very unconventional approach to helping them. So instead of, if a child didn't want to clean their room, instead of ordering them to clean their room, she would say, actually, you should, or her cure for the child was to let the child just be as messy as they wanted to. And so there's one story where a child literally becomes trapped in their room under all their toys. Or one of my favorites that I talked about in the article called The Radish Cure is about this little girl who doesn't want to take a bath. And so she is allowed actually to not bathe for weeks until she actually develops a layer of topsoil all over her body. And her parents plant radish seeds in that dirt. And she's so traumatized when those radishes kind of grow and are picked out of her that she's dying to take a bath. So I was influenced by that a lot when I was younger, and a lot of psychological research and even psychotherapy approaches kind of go along with that idea. Obviously, you don't want to take it to an extreme where you hurt yourself, but sometimes actually what's called prescribing the symptom can be really effective.
So if my resolution is to get more exercise, say, what would I do? What would my opposite of exercise chore be?
Right. So that's a really common resolution. I think it's one that lends itself really well to this approach. So one thing you can do is, and you can really be creative with this. There isn't just like one way to do it, but it also depends on kind of how your habit works. But the opposite of exercise you could think of as just inactivity. So you could require yourself to sit on the couch for a set period of time, for example, 30 minutes or an hour. And during that time, you're not allowed to get up. And I actually think it helps to imagine that you actually are physically incapable of getting up, or you're on a plane and you've been on the plane for hours. And that starts to make sitting on the couch feel really unpleasant. And so that the idea is sort of to reverse the roles so that bad habit is now the chore that you're assigning yourself. And the desired behavior, going to the gym, is something that maybe seems a little more pleasant. And so I think what's also important is that after that set period of time, you allow yourself to do whatever you want, and you still don't have to go to the gym or go exercise, but you basically give yourself that choice. And so the idea is to kind of tap into that intrinsic motivation that you might have to actually exercise. And you may, I think another key thing is you may actually enjoy exercising even more, because I think sometimes people, even when they follow the resolutions, they really aren't enjoying it and they're not getting as much out of it as they could. And so I think to kind of realize, wait, some people don't actually have the ability to exercise, and just realizing that it's really a privilege, I think, can help us not take those things for granted and actually want to do them.
So do the opposite thing. Make it a chore. Make the desired thing fun. And you also suggest that maybe we do it as a mental exercise. We imagine what would happen to us down the line if we smoke to excess today or eat too much or things like that, because that you don't necessarily want to do to the extreme.
Right. Yeah, that's a good point that, you know, for certain things, you know, you wouldn't want to drink so much alcohol that you get sick and that teaches you your lesson. You know, I think for those kinds of examples, sometimes it is more helpful to sort of imagine what would happen if I sort of overindulge, or kind of look at the future you, look at those different paths and what are the benefits and what are the costs of going on that road or not. And really asking yourself, is this what I want? So it's not so much just to scare yourself, but because those kind of fear tactics don't always work, but to really ask yourself genuinely, do I want to go down that road with its costs and its benefits?
So a lot of this might feel counterintuitive. And here's another thing you say that sounds counterintuitive at first glance. Look at the thing you're trying to quit and think about the pleasurable side. Think about what we get out of it, not just the negatives. How's that going to help us?
Right. So I think that's really important, because I think that's part of why we have so much trouble sticking with our resolutions, because we really, you know, like I said, we think it's going to be so much easier to quit than it really is. And by seeing those benefits, I think we can be much more prepared for the temptations that are going to be there. And one of the things I suggest in the post is that if we recognize that we get these benefits, if we find other ways to get those benefits, we may be less tempted. So if we find other ways to relieve stress or other things we can do that are going to fulfill that same need, I think that can be helpful.
Because we don't smoke because of the bad stuff, the risk of disease.
Exactly.
and the bad breath isn't what makes us smoke. So we need to track down the benefits, the reasons we do it, and try to find something to take the place?
Yeah, definitely. I think part of that is to be, you know, not so hard on ourselves and recognize that we do have these needs and there is a reason we're doing these bad habits. We're not bad people. And I think that's an important component, because when we feel shame and we beat ourselves up over our failure to keep our resolutions, that actually is counterproductive.
And I've been dropping the word resolution this whole time. And that's a concept that's been around for a long time. Is that a misleading word? Does it calling it a resolution, making it at the beginning of the year, really help us?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I think that even though in certain ways this is a great time to sort of have a new start, and the word resolution has a lot of strength to it, like it feels like something very powerful, but at the same time, I think it can actually trigger reactors just because it is so kind of strong. And so I actually think it can be more helpful either not to think of it as a resolution. You could think of it as an experiment. You could think of it as a question. You're asking yourself, what happens if I do, if I change this thing in my life, or, you know, what do I really want? So kind of framing it more as a question or something that's not, using that word resolution can be a little intense for people.
And Juliana, if it's not too personal, have you been able to put this into practice and make a change, a resolution or otherwise, in your life?
Yeah, that's a great question. So actually, the funny thing is, one of the resolutions I've always had and why I talk about this is to exercise more. And, you know, there's always, especially when you're a busy person, you can always find an excuse not to exercise. But I have to say that after writing this post, I got up, and just because I had thought a little bit about the kind of like being stuck and paralyzed on my couch, I actually went out and started running. And ever since then, I haven't been perfect, but I've been a lot more active just because I've been thinking about this a lot. So I do think that it really helps. And I mean, one thing I should note is that this was before the new year. So again, it wasn't so much, okay, I'm going to wait till January 1st. It was, wait, right now I really want to go exercise. So it did help me.
Well, Mrs. Piggle Wiggle would be proud. Juliana, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's Juliana Brinas, postdoctoral fellow in psychology at Brandeis University.